This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello. Hi. I hope that you're doing so well. I'm excited to talk to you today. I have a whole topic, actually, and it's a little bit unusual for me because typically these episodes are very much like, here's what I'm doing and why and how I feel about it. And it's not a lot of like, here's what you should be doing and why. But I was thinking about one thing that I do that I think serves me well in life, in making decisions, and saves me money. And it's the idea of an MVP, not an MVP, like a most valuable player, like a very best football player of the game. MVP standing for minimum viable product. The term MVP gets used, I'm familiar with it mostly through product development, like software product development. I'm sure it gets used elsewhere. And if nothing else, it gets used in my home all the time. So a minimum viable product is, it's kind of like a rough draft, kind of like a prototype that you want to get into users' hands so that they can start using it, giving feedback, and you can learn about what you've built and maybe test some assumptions without having to have built like the whole thing, right? So as an example, and I don't know if this is real or not, but let's just say that you are the person who is inventing Instagram. What you're going to release out into the world is like, here's an app that lets you post a photo and you can follow other people and like their photos. And that might be the MVP. And you get that out in the world and you keep developing the product. You add stories, you add reels, you add the ability to post multiple photos in like a carousel, multiple photos in the same post, right? You add the ability to send a post to someone else. You add messaging, like the ability to private message someone on the app. But you don't have to build all of that before you launch your product. You can launch with an MVP, a minimum viable product. And that's probably something you've done, like whether you were familiar with that term or not, I'm sure that's something that you've done in your life. And I go to it all the time. I'm like, let me just MVP this. And so I wanted to give you a couple examples. When I wanted to try yoga, I bought a very cheap, crummy yoga mat. It was not nice. It was like plastic. It was really slippery. It was not nice to use. And then once I had done yoga for a little while and had decided like, yeah, this is something I'm going to do from time to time, then I went back and bought a much nicer mat. I love a Manduka mat, if you're curious. I like the Manduka Eco mats. I think they take a little bit less breaking in than the Pro version, but that's just my preference. And I did the same thing when I wanted a Peloton bike. So I'd been using the Peloton app for just the strength workouts in the app. And then I decided that maybe I wanted to start taking the cycling classes. And so I actually took my phone to the gym that was in my office building and did one class there on a whatever bike they had in the gym. And then I was like, okay, yeah, I think I liked that enough. And so then I went on, I don't remember, Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace and bought a pretty crummy used spin bike. I was actually very proud of this. So it was $150. It was so close. I bought it from my neighbor, threw it in the back of my car, took it home, used it for 2 weeks and thought, yep, I really like this. I would absolutely do this all the time. So now I feel ready to purchase an actual Peloton bike. And I sold that bike. I bought it for $150 and I sold it for, I don't remember, but more, like $200, maybe it was $175. I don't know, but I sold it for more than I paid for it. I flipped it and I was just really proud of myself for doing that. Anyways, and then I bought a Peloton bike, which I have had since then and I really, really like. It doesn't get quite as much love now that I have the Peloton rower, but it does get used and I like it. And I wanted to test my hypothesis that if I have a spin bike at my house, I will use it before I go spend like $1,500 on this fancy Peloton bike. I'm sure there are lots and lots and lots of fitness related examples, right? You can buy one set of dumbbells before you buy a whole rack situation. You can do a free trial at like the boutique fitness studio before you sign up for a monthly membership, etc., you know, and so on and so on. I did the same thing when I was looking at, I really wanted this thing called a Remarkable, which It's a tablet. It's an e-ink tablet. So imagine a tablet, but instead of a screen that lights up and is in color, the screen kind of looks like a Kindle screen with that e-ink, just black and white. And then it comes with a pencil that you can take notes and edit your notes and resize things that you've done and erase, rewrite, copy and paste, share, etc. So it's like a digital notebook with an e-ink screen. And I was like, I really want this. I really fell down the rabbit hole for a couple of weeks reading reviews and looking online for used ones and asking people I knew, like, do you like it? Do you, you know, would you buy it again? Like, if it broke tomorrow, would you go replace it? Those kinds of things. And so I decided to MVP it though and just see if I would be a digital note taker in general. So I bought an Apple Pencil for, I don't remember, I want to say it was $90 or $100. And then I bought the GoodNotes app, which I also don't remember how much it cost, something like $15 or $20. And I bought a screen protector for that iPad that I already owned that was supposed to make the screen feel like paper, because that was one of the big features of the Remarkable, is that writing on the screen felt like writing on paper. So I bought an Apple Pencil, an app, and a screen protector for probably definitely less than $150. A Remarkable was, I think, around $500. So I thought, okay, let me just invest a smaller amount of money. Let me do an MVP and see if I like it. And turns out I really liked it and I was totally satisfied with my MVP. I liked using my Apple Pencil and an iPad so much that I didn't feel like I wanted the Remarkable anyways. And there were some things I even preferred about using the iPad. Like, I could log into my work apps on my iPad at the same time. So it made it really easy to like copy and paste things I'd written down. So my first couple examples were where I like did an MVP for something and then decided to invest further. And this one was great because I did an MVP and then I stopped and it saved me from spending much more money on a Remarkable. I did the same thing with YNAB, Y-N-A-B, which is short for You Need a Budget. I paid for it on a monthly basis for the first couple of months. It's cheaper to pay for a year, but I was thinking, I don't want to pay for a year and then use it for 3 months and decide that I don't like it. It's not a huge difference. I think it's around $15 a month. And then the 1 year membership, I think, is around $100. So you save like $40, $50 a month by making the annual purchase. But again, I wanted to make sure that I was committed. So I MVP'd that. I used YNAB on the monthly cost for a few months before committing and then buying for the year, which in the long run actually cost me a little bit more money because I paid the higher rate for those couple of months. But I felt fine about it because, again, the whole idea is that you just don't have to make this commitment. And for me, it's really become a really valuable tool because I tend to sometimes agonize over purchases. And it feels as though I'm like making this choice for the rest of my life. And so having this little baby step, like temporary, like, let me just stick my toe in, let me try a sample, let me write a rough draft here, is really, really freeing, really comforting. It's just something that I enjoy a lot. And lately, I've been thinking about it in terms of early retirement. I was talking to my therapist about how I'm always kind of on the fence, like, oh, would I really like my job? And my job brings me a lot of stress sometimes. And so I don't know if I'm going to be happier with a job or without a job. And I will tell you candidly, she's kind of like, I mean, wherever you go, there you are. So like, if you're anxious at work, if you don't have a job, you're just going to find other things to be anxious about. So like, you're going to be anxious either way, you may as well get paid, right? But one thing I was thinking about was like, well, I could, you know, it's not like, I feel like in my head, there's these two options, like retire or work forever, or retire or like work for another however many years, like be retired or be not retired. And we were talking through things and I thought, well, I could just like take a year off. Like, I don't have to announce to the world, like, I am officially retired. And if I decide I want to go back to work, please consider this a failure. And so I'm not going to do that anytime soon. But I really liked that idea and realized again, oh, this is another like MVP. Like, if I'm not sure about early retirement, I could always try it out, right? I could ask to take a leave of absence from my current job, which I'm not going to do, or a little further down the road, maybe in a few years, either ask to take a leave of absence or ask to go part-time, ask to be sort of downgraded, demoted, as it were, or leave and say, but it doesn't have to be like, I'm leaving because I'm going to retire. It could be, hey, I'm leaving. I need to take a year off, like for my own mental health. And I'm going to go do some other projects. And if there's a role at the company in a year, like maybe that will work out, or maybe I will go find a job at a different company, or maybe at the end of that year, I'll decide to commit fully to early retirement. So that's another MVP. Another thing I've been thinking about, if you remember, one of my goals goals this year was to put together some actual plans, some actual roadmaps for what early retirement could look like. Like, okay, how would we actually draw down on our investments? What would our living expenses actually look like? What would it look like if just I stopped working? What would it look like if we both stopped working? What do those budgets look like? Like, what are, let's lay out some actual plans. And in my head, I'm like, okay, so we can either stay in this house or not stay in this house. We can either stay or we can sell it. And we can live in something smaller here, or we could move overseas, retire internationally. And again, my mind kept coming back to this idea of an MVP. Like, okay, well, what if we, as a first step, one of the things I've always thought about is retiring in Mexico. I love Mexico. It's a super popular place for people from the US to retire. We could go to one of the cities that I have looked at for a week or 2 weeks. Check it out. We could go there and rent a place to live for 6 months. We don't have to decide, like, we are moving to Mexico. Here we go. You don't have to jump in with both feet. There's these MVP options available. So I feel like I've been using this MVP concept in smaller areas. And I've just recently been thinking more about how I can use it in early retirement. And I'm just feeling really happy about that. And I was feeling pretty pleased with that, pretty clever, pretty good about it. And I wanted to share that with you in case it's helpful. Again, I don't usually do like how to or here's what I think you should be doing. But I do think, again, you've done this somewhere in your life already. But sometimes even if you're not familiar with the concept already, having a name for it allows your brain to take a little bit of a shortcut. And instead of thinking out like, oh, well, maybe we'll move, but what if we don't like it? And maybe we won't move and maybe we'll stay and maybe we'll go for just a little while and like to kind of do a pilot and see how it goes and then assess. You can just get through all of that in your head by going like, oh, maybe we'll just MVP it. So yeah, if you have examples that are coming to mind of where you MVP'd something, please tell me. I would love to hear about those. You can find me almost every day on Instagram at Liz Gets Loaded. You can find me here, of course, most Mondays. I am one of the rotating co-hosts on another podcast called Inside Out Money. I'm usually on an episode about once a month, every 4 weeks. And if you liked this episode, that is so cool. That's amazing. Thank you so much for listening. I am sitting at 92 reviews on Apple Podcasts and hoping to get to 100. And you don't even have to leave a written review. If you just go to the Apple Podcasts app and hit 5 stars, that's all you have to do. And once I get to 100, I'll feel like legit. So if you want to help me out with that goal, great. If you want to share this episode with a friend, we love that. In any case, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for hanging out with me for a few minutes. I hope that you are having such a good day, such a good week. My anxiety is like, she's putting in some overtime this week. So thanks for letting me talk about some things out loud. This is something that I always find really enjoyable and relaxing, and it gets me out of my head a little bit. So thanks for being here for that. I guess I'll finish and then just like go back to being worried. That's all I got, friends. Take care. Bye.